A church, amen.
Amen.
A church, amen again.
Amen.
If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to John, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse? While you're getting there, giving unto God the Father, the Jesus, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who is present with us. When you get it, won't you stand in honor of the reading of the word? To Jesus, the Son, who is present with us, to our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Our first lady, only lady, Sister Stinger, who was on the wall earlier. Amen.
Amen.
To my lovely wife, Sheila, 30 years, going on, just coming on up. And my young men, I used to, my knuckleheads, but they bigger than me. They may get some ideas. And to my fellow sufferers in the gospel here, the assistant pastor, to all the ministers who did, Grace Diaz, those who may be in the congregation, to all the officials here, our deacon, our deaconess, our trustees, our musicians, and our choir who's done such a marvelous job. Each of you God's children, our visitors who may be here, thank you all so much for coming. Everybody who made it out on Christmas Day to church. Who came up with the idea of having Christmas on Sunday? Really, really? 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 We'll talk about that in a minute. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave... I said that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a short verse, so let's read it again together this time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you for just being God and God all by yourself. I stand today, Lord, we need you today. You said in your word you would send forth your word into the earth, would not return to you void. As you give us your word, Lord, open up our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Hide me, Lord, so deep within the crevices of your cross or behind it till none of me is seen, but only you, and you get the glory. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. While you're getting your seat, why don't you say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor.
God gave
that we could be saved.
Say to yourself, self. God gave that we could be saved. It's Christmas Day on Sunday. How many of you already opened up your gifts? All right, so some of y'all are pretty comfortable right now. Some of y'all are anxious as you won't believe. Some of y'all want me to go ahead and get on out of here and just say amen and be done. But you're going to have to wait. So brace yourself. God gave so that we could say this text, this season, we've ascribed any number of titles to it. We've said Jesus is the reason for the season. And I think that is definitely right, but I'm concerned about what that means and what we really mean when we say Jesus is the reason for the season, because we know it's his birthday. And what do you do on a birthday? You have a what?
Party.
And we done had a whole lot of parties on his birthday. But I think we lose sight of the real reason and what it was. It wasn't just the birthday that we ought to celebrate, but what was the reason behind the birthday? The only reason we're here really was because we needed a savior. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't get it right ourselves. In fact, we couldn't pay our own debt of sin. And if we had, we would die. So we needed somebody to come and redeem us. And hence, Christmas. But let's talk for a minute. Christmas is a time of the year when we dedicate a great deal of thought and effort to giving and receiving of gifts. How many of y'all spend a whole lot of time doing that? Been out shopping? How many of you just tired from, that's a rhetorical, that's you. But you look at me, you look like you're just tired. Just, why you get tired when you're doing good? I mean, really? Matthew. The 11th chapter, the 2nd chapter, rather, it says, and they will come into the house. We remember this story. And they saw the young child with Mary, the mother. They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When we think about Christmas, we are somehow justified because we're in compliance with the first Christmas story. We remember the Magi who brought Jesus these gifts. Gold was a gift for a king, and Jesus was a man born to be king. But he was not born to reign over them by force, but by love, and he would rule over the man's heart, and not from a throne, but from a cross. Frankincense, this was a gift for a priest. The priest, the function of a priest is pontifex, or rather a bridge builder. A priest, his job is to build the bridge between man and God. Jesus Christ opened the way to God. He made it possible so that we could secure our own, we could enter into God's presence by ourselves. We didn't need anybody else to go in our stead. We can go in by ourselves. Is that good news? The last thing, myrrh is a gift for one who is to die. Myrrh is to use to embalm the dead body. Jesus was born to die. Jesus came into the world to live for men and then ultimately to die for men. So if you look at the story, if you look at the gifts that were given, even at the cradle of Christ, the gifts foretold his purpose. It wasn't just that he was born into the world. He was born with the purpose. He was born to be the true king, the perfect high priest, and the supreme savior of men. That is, God gave us so that he could save us. God gave us Christ so that he could save us. How is it that, you know how it is when you buy a special gift for someone and you want them to use it for that purpose? Anybody ever had their gift re-gifted? You probably wouldn't know if you did anyway. But that wasn't the purpose of the gift. You ever saw your gift used after you gave it or unappreciated? How did that make you feel? God gave Christ a gift to us for a purpose. How do you think he feels when we don't accept or receive the gift for the purpose it was given? He gave us Christ so that we could be saved. We remember the Magi's, their gift, but do we remember the gift and the purpose of the true gift? If not, Christmas for us would be just like we thought the first Christmas was. You remember how that as it ended, everything returned to normal after Christmas. The shepherds returned to their flock. The angels silenced their singers and the wise men. They took their long journey trip back home. In fact, they went the long way to the house. Some of us understand that if you don't have a reason for this season, what happens is after Christmas is over, it's a bad state of affairs. Christ, Christmas, is a day to commemorate the birth of Christ, God's gift to man, a gift that gives us, and he gave us so that we might be saved. For a moment, think about this during Christmas time. For a moment, there's breathlessness, there seems to be magic in the air. Everybody seems to love everybody. Problems seem to go away. People seek good for others. Individualism takes a back seat, and altruism stands up in the earth. The song of the day is, if I can help somebody. As I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with the word, if I can show, you know the song. For one day, we are able to let bygones be bygones. Friends become foes become friends, and we see peace on earth and goodwill toward men. For one day, for a brief moment, there's a special glow in the air. Life is softer, gayer, more exciting. But then the magic moments pass. The tinsel wasn't silver after all. It was aluminum foil. The problems all return, and gaiety and laughter turns into the dark. The warm glow of friendship disappears, and people become strangers again, walking by each other, passing each other as if they don't know each other. Chuck Swindoll composed a poem, and I like this poem, to commemorate the day after Christmas. He said it this way, 'twas the day after Christmas. Y'all know they want me tonight before Christmas, right? 'Twas the day after Christmas when all through the place there were arguments and depression. Even mom had a long face. The stocking hung empty. The house was a mess. The new clothes didn't fit and dad was under stress. The family was irritable and the children no one could please because the instructions on the swing set were written in Chinese. The bells no longer jingled and no carols came around. The sink was stacked with dishes and the tree was turning brown. The store were full of people returning things that fizzled and failed. And the shoppers were discouraged because everything they had bought now was half price sale. 'Twas the day after Christmas, the spirit of joy had disappeared. The only hope on the horizon was the 12 bowl games the first day of the new year. Some of you all can relate to that. If you think honestly about it, when Christmas is over, we simply return to life as normal. We take the gift that we receive, and then it's business as usual. You finally get what you've been wanting, or you've been having all this planning and for Christmas, and then Christmas happens, and then it's back to business, back to work, back to the hustle and bustle, and now we have bills. The only difference in the difference is the gift we receive for Christmas. The day before Christmas and the day after Christmas, the only difference is the gift we receive at Christmas. Come on, sir. It should be different, don't you think? Mm-hmm. All of that prepping and planning, and that's what you get. Anybody been married or married? And you know how you plan for a year for marriage? And then you walk up to the altar, 30 minutes later, it's all over. And you're like, what? And you try to drag it out with a song, maybe a prayer. Because the vow really is just not that long. It can really be done in 5 minutes. Christmas, we spend all this time prepping and preparing, and then all we have after Christmas is over is just the gift that we got during Christmas. All that planning, all that putting up trees and putting up lights and all this gathering, all the hoopla, and all we get at the end of that is what we have after Christmas. Now, let's think about it. Some of us are driving new cars, wearing new clothes, smelling of new cologne or perfume, sporting new watches, a pair of shoes, a jacket or overcoat, watching a new TV or DVD player, listening to a new radio or CD or MP3 or iPod, using a new computer, iPad or e-reader, writing with a new pen, drinking a new brand of coffee out of a new cup from a new coffee maker or something, playing a new game, talking on a new phone with a new friend, and they got new friends. Now, Echo, iHome, Google. I really don't even have to talk to you anymore. I just get my Echo or my iHome. We can have a conversation now. It's a different dynamic now. So maybe that's what you have. But the only difference, though, is Christmas, the day after Christmas, is the gift that you receive for Christmas. All right. Is that really what Christmas is all about? If that's your story, you missed it, because Jesus was not just born. Jesus changed the world. Look at how powerful his birth was. His power, he was so powerful that he split time and history. They separated AD, BC from AD. All of a sudden, everything became before Christ. And then after Demoni, which is the year of our Lord after his death. And then God gave us access to his Father. That's major. When Jesus was born, the whole world changed at his birth. And yet we smallize this thing so much that all we have is Christmas Day to celebrate his birth. And we're disturbed because we have to go to church on a day when we need to be opening these gifts. I'm excited about mine, too. Christmas is a time to commemorate, to remember, to remind of the greatest gift that God, the greatest gift that we could ever possibly, the greatest gift of all, the Son of the Most High God. Isaiah said it this way: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You may have received the best gift possible in this world that had to offer, but I can tell you what, it may make you faster, richer, stronger, better, wiser, or more popular, but nothing could compare to the gift God has given you in his Son, Jesus Christ. Everything you got is going to moth or rust or corrupt, and thieves may break through and steal. Everything that you receive is going to get old, is going to go out of style, become outdated or break down or become dysfunctional. But Jesus Christ, God's gift to man, he is, according to Paul in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, if I really look at this and really examine this, I think that's the answer, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Can I talk about that for a minute? First, he was yesterday. He was yesterday. That was meaning he was pre-sent. He was sent before. He is the past. He is today. That is, he is a present. That is a gift. He is a present. And the last thing is, he was or will be forever. That is, he is present with us forever. Is that good news? Can we talk about the present, P-R-E-S-E-N-T? That's the same spelling any way you look at it. First of all, the present, P-R-E, pre-sent, he was before. He was yesterday. He was sent before. John, in trying to capture the birthday story or the story of Jesus' birth, he did not take the same stance that the other gospel writers did. In fact, John said, you all are starting with 42 generations and bringing them up to date. But John said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, John took it all the way back. Said, in fact, he was in the beginning. He was pre-sent before the world began. He was. Is that all right? We serve a God that was there. And in fact, he said he was in the world in the 10th verse of that same chapter. And the world knew him not. He did, but he said in the Word, in John the 10th verse, chapter 14th verse, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This flesh became this bird, this Son, Jesus Christ. He was made flesh, and then we didn't even know who he was. John said it happened way back in the beginning. He was here. He was pre-sent. Paul said, let me make it a little bit plainer to you, because you may not have gotten that. Paul said in Romans the 5th chapter, and God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, further, much more then, by being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. We were saved when we didn't even know we needed to be saved.
That's right. Amen.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died. He was pre-sent in the beginning with the purpose of saving us. So already before it even started, he had a plan in place to save us. Amen. Isn't that good news? That's a present. That's a gift right there. That's a gift to have something. Anybody plan for a gift for a year? You get so excited about what you're going to do. You could not wait to get this gift to somebody. You thought about it all year, and it's like, I can't wait. Or you had something in mind special you wanted to give somebody. You're all excited about it, but you put some time. God did not give us his son by accident. It wasn't because he woke up one day and said, oh, man, it's now sin. I need to figure this out and do something to try to get them realigned. He had it established in the beginning. From the time when Eve and Adam made their mistake, God already had a way for us to escape. That's the kind of God we serve. Nothing he does by accident. Some of you are going through something. You wonder how you're going to come out. God is already, he already has your escape plan. You into something. You thinking this is the end of the world, but God has already, he already has you. He had that in the beginning. Before you were, he's not, when you were in your mother's womb, he said, I knew you. He already wrote it for you. He's already declared. You just have to come into it. And then he said he's a present, a gift. That is, he is here today. He is a present. He is a present, a gift. James said it this way in 1 and 17. He said, every good and perfect gift coming from above, coming down from the Father of light. We've got to know that God gives only perfect gifts. Pastor talked about it last summer, the perfect gift. He gives perfect gift, every good and perfect gift. So what God gives you is good and perfect. But you ever receive something you couldn't tell if it was really good for you or not? Mamas, you all do this for your kids all the time. You give them stuff that's good for them. At least that would you say. And then they receive it, but they don't see it that way. My mama used to give us spankings. It was good for me. Yeah. That's what she said. It didn't seem that way at the time. But let me tell you, she knew what she was talking about. We've got to understand that God has a gift for us that's good for us. We may not see it or connect with it, but God's gift is more precious than diamonds and pearls, than silver and gold, more precious than precious. He said in John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his only, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have, he gave it with a purpose so that we might have everlasting life. You may not understand it, but you just got to accept it. Why? Because he said, why did he give us? Well, he said in Galatians 4:4-5, he said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. You have to understand, we were under the law, and the law required that we must pay for our sin. Right. Payment was the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, hold up. Now, how do you pay for sin? Then what happens after that? If the wages of sin is death and we sin, then all we have left is to die. All right now. There's no way out. And since God instituted the law, then it was a requirement that he must stand by the law. That's right. So if he said the wages of sin is death, then whoever committed sin had to die. What's the exit plan? Well, that's where the son came in. God gave the gift of his son to save us from sin. Somebody had to pay sin's debt. They were killing off cows and goats and all kind of cattle and little animals and stuff, trying to make it right. And they killed so much stuff, it just began to stink in God's nostril. You know how that is sometimes, right? You go to God and you keep asking for forgiveness for something that you keep on doing and you keep on doing. And you keep on doing. In fact, we get so good at this, sometimes we go down knowing we're coming up just getting to do it. Because we already got this thing already wired. We got this thing so wired to say, well, you know we're going to forgive. All we got to do is just confess and believe. And then God's going to forgive us. But that's not really how it's designed to be. But this stuff got so bad it just stunk in his nostrils. He said, I don't want that anymore. I need somebody to go down and redeem man. And when they checked the record for someone to go, they couldn't find anybody sufficient to go. Because everybody that they came up with had sinned. Somebody said, well, what about Moses? Well, Moses can't go. Moses got a temper. Right. What about Jeremiah? Jeremiah cries too much. What about Nehemiah? Nehemiah, he's way too strained. What about Job? Job's, he's kind of impatient, though y'all want to call him Job, but patient, but he's a little bit impatient. I had to call him into order one day to tell him, who are you? Come on, somebody. He said, I need somebody to go down and redeem man. But there was a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. Jesus came to us that he might save us, but it was through God's grace Not that we deserve it. You have not done anything that deserved to be right before God. You did not get here because you did all the right things. You dotted every I and crossed every T. That was the law. The law required that you dot every I and cross every T. But what we discovered was there's no way every day I can do everything that I'm told to do. I tried myself. I get up in the morning, I tell myself, okay, today's going to be a good day. I'm going to smile all day long. I'm going to be happy all day. I'm going to give out love and affection. And then I walk out, I get in the car, and somebody cut me off. And it right then, it shifts. There's a universal language. I'm just kidding. You understand how we have good intentions, but we can't do it by ourselves. And even with our best intentions, you're going to somehow along the way, you're going to make anybody here, not anyone, please let me see you. Anyone here who has not made a mistake ever in life, I want to see what that looks like. Nobody? Why are you standing up? You? Oh, just. I just want to make, I want to make sure I didn't miss anybody, you know, because if you're the man, you're the man. So I just want to make sure that I didn't miss anybody, because, I mean, if you're the one, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing anybody who had not made a mistake. So you know what's nice about that? That puts us all on level footing. Because the common denominator is sin. So nobody here can look down at anybody that knows that anybody. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know us Christians, we get funny sometimes. You know, y'all took a me, y'all Christian, you know, I ain't. Y'all some funny folks. Y'all get so righteous. You forget that you were wrong. Amen. You have one good day. I mean, one good salvation day on Sunday. And you want to act like the world is wrong now. Now, everybody in it got a problem. Like, I'm not the only one, right? Huh? We need to be careful and understand that we have all have sinned, and because of that sin, we were all required to die. The law said the wages of sin is death, and justice said, well, they've sinned, they should die. God was justified in his action if he had just killed all of us. That's what justice is about. Justice, you commit wrong, then you get the consequence is this, then you get the consequence. That's just. Nothing wrong with that. If I said, you look, let me, RJ, if you lie, you're going to get a spanking. And if he lies, he's going to get a spanking. Well, I'm talking about when he was younger. So I was just in my spanking of him. Because he did wrong, I spanked him. That's the law. You broke the law, you get the consequences of having broken the law. But thank God for grace. Amen. Grace said, give him another chance to do right. Yeah. Grace said, grace treats me just as if I had done nothing wrong. Yeah. Justified, that's the way we say it back in Arkansas. Yeah. Justified, done nothing wrong. Grace looks beyond our faults and sees our need. Yeah. Romans 6 and 20 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's present to save us. He is a present to save us. He was present to save us. He is a present to save us. That's the kind of God we serve. And no matter where you've been, no matter what happened last night or what happened this morning or the day, we serve a mighty God that if you would just come to him and confess, then he will forgive you and you can be right by God because of his grace, not because of your action. It ain't based on your action. It's based on his grace. Are we good with that? Last thing he said, he is present with us. He will never leave us. Nor will he forsake us. Look what he said in Matthew 1:23. He said, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Y'all sang this earlier. You say, Emmanuel. Did y'all know what y'all were saying? God with us. Emmanuel. God with us. That sounds pretty good, though. It's kind of, I get a little echo up here. I mean, not an echo. I'm talking a little echo. God with us is good news. Jesus was and he is the Savior, the mediator between man and God. He is with us. Timothy said, and Paul said in 1 Timothy, he said, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Some say, wait a minute. Some people say that what he died and he left us. Well, I mean, I think you missed it if you didn't keep reading, because, yeah, before he returned, before he died, before he returned to heaven, he promised another comforter. He said, I'm going to give you the spirit that shall indwell you. If he said he'll never leave you, that's just what he said. That's what he meant that he was going to do. He's not going to leave you, but one man can be in only so many places at a time. But when he gave us of his spirit, then he can be in all places at one time. So he gave us the spirit, and Paul, John declared in 16, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away, for if I go away, the comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send the comforter to you. Help me out, the 16th verse, he said, and I will pray the Father, he will give you the comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The spirit that's in you, he said, he's going to abide with you forever. John 26, verse of the same chapter, he said, and he will teach you all things and bring all things back to my memory. And then finally he said in the 26th verse of the 15th chapter, he said, and he shall testify of me. Yes. Think about this woman. The spirit of God that he's going to put in you is going to tell you about him. It's going to abide with you. It's going to teach you. And then it's going to testify of Jesus Christ. And that said, he'll never leave you. He's always present. He's always with you. That's the kind of God. He is present with you at all times through by his spirit. And I'm glad to know he's present with me, because I begin to search the scripture. James John said in the 5th chapter, 9th verse, he says, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scripture testifies of Christ, just like the spirit testifies of Christ. And when I begin to look in the scripture, I understand that the scripture was telling me what the spirit was already telling me. What did it tell me? He said, it told me who he was. When I looked in the word, I said, he was pre-sent. Well, I began to check this way. I said, Noah, he was Noah's ship. He was Abraham's ram. He was Enoch's chariot. He was Isaiah's father and God. He was Moses' burning bush. He was Israel's freedom fighter. He was Gideon's commander in chief. He was Joshua's wall. You know this person. He was Nehemiah's wall builder. He was Samuel's rock. He was Job's healer. He was Solomon's lover and bridegroom. He was Joel baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. He was Amos' burden bearer. He was Jonah's forgiven foreign missionary. He was Jeremiah's fire shed of his bone. He was Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel. This man, Jesus, had already been pre-sent. He was Zechariah's savior. He was Malachi's son of righteousness. He was Daniel's lion tamer. He was Hosea's God of hosts. He was Jonah's submarine. This same Jesus was pre-sent. He was already sent before. So when I began to look in the word, I found out that he was already there in the beginning. Why? For now, well, the reason he's important to us today and why the birth is so important is because God gave that he might save. Then I looked a little bit further. I found out that he is a present. He is a gift. What kind of gift? I'm glad you asked. Because when I began to look in the word, I couldn't find a specific answer to that question. But I found Moses said, he said, I am. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm a company keeper. I'm a doctor. I'm a emancipator. I'm a friend. I'm a guardian. I'm a helper. I'm hope. I'm an informant. I'm joy in times of sorrow. I'm King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm merciful and mighty. I'm omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. I'm a provider. I'm a question and I'm the answer. I'm a rock in a weary land. I'm a shelter and I'm truth. He said, I'm understanding God. I'm a victorious savior. I'm the way out of nowhere. I'm an x-ray. I know more about you. I know you're down shit and you're upright. I'm a Yahweh and I'm the Zenith. I am God. God all by myself. Whatever you need, God's got it. Grandmama used to say he's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. This same Jesus, I don't know what you need. You may need a doctor. He's a doctor that never lost a patient. You may need a friend. He's the greatest friend in the world. He said, I had no greater love as any man than this. Then that man will lay down his life for his friend. He is a present. He is a gift to us. It's not that you deserve it. Some of us get confused by this. We think that we can do something to deserve it. It's not that you deserve it. He is a gift to you. Who wouldn't refuse? Who wouldn't accept a gift like Jesus? Who wouldn't take a gift that's been pre-sent, already destined for you, that's a present, that don't cost you nothing? You don't have to pay a dime for it. You don't have to check your bank account. You don't have to call your friend. You don't have to use a hotline or take a 50-50 chance. It's your gift. All you got to do is accept the gift that God's given to you. Why wouldn't we accept a gift like that? And then the last thing, I began to check further, and I found out that he is present, that he's always there. I heard him say, I'll never leave you. Nor say, well, what do you mean you'll never leave? Well, I checked the record. He said, wait a minute. He said, I heard him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've got to get from earth to glory using your basic instruction before leaving earth. You're going to get from earth to glory, but you won't have to do it by yourself. I got the comforter on the inside that's going to help you get from point A to point B. It's not going to be because of what you've done. I said that, Jesus, wait. You fought a good fight. It wasn't a great fight. You did all right. You did all right. I mean, there were some days you were down when you should have been up. There were some days you were up when you should have been down. There were some days you were talking when you should have been quiet. There were some days you were quiet when you should have been talking. You did all right. It was just a good fight. If you look at the grading system, good is just a B. You were not all that plus a bag of chips. You got through not based on what you were doing, but you got through because of God's grace and his mercy. Grandmama said it this way. See, I was in church one day and I heard my grandmama talking. She said, grace woke me up this morning. Grace started me on my way. And now some of y'all okay with that song, but see, I knew grandmama and I knew all my aunties and I knew all my kinfolk, and we didn't have a grace in our family. So I got concerned about granddaddy. Did she, did he know grace? Because grace woke up big mama this morning. Now that means somebody was in the house with big mama that woke big mama up. I don't know if y'all getting this here. I don't know if you're getting this here. But right there with granddaddy there, yeah. Grace woke up big mama. Yeah. I got a little bit older because I didn't understand it, but you know what I've learned to understand now? I'm right there with Sheila in the bed with me. I got an alarm clock set with 5 different alarms. Come on. But here's what I got to report this morning. Grace woke me up this morning. Grace started me on my way. I don't deserve to be here, but God gave that we might be saved. One day when I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, the master of the sea, y'all know it, he reached down and picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. Wasn't anything that I did to deserve it, but nothing but grace. I looked at my hands, same old hands, but something on the inside had changed. You know how it is when something on the inside changes, all of a sudden stuff on the outside changes. When you have a right perspective about life, you can look and see things differently. When Jesus touched that blind man, he said, how do you see men? He said, I see men as trees walking. He said, hold up, try it again. How do you see men? He said, I see men as men. Every now and then, you got to understand, when God touches you on the inside, it changes your whole perspective on life. My hands look new, same old hands, but these hands didn't do what they used to do. I look down at my feet, they look new too. Same old raggedy callous. But they look new because God changed my inside. I started to walk and I had a new walk. Y'all know this. I started to talk. I had a new talk. See, I used to cuss folk out. Now I just let folks cuss me out. And I say, God is a good God. God gave that he might save. God gave us his son. Not that we may have parties in his name. Not that we may have a Christmas tree. Not that we may have lights. And not that we may have candy or that we might do gifts. But he gave us his son that we might be saved. So if there's somebody here today who may not know him in the pardon of their sin, I ask you, stand to your feet. If you're here today, I want to extend this invitation to you. If you're here today and you don't know him, God has a gift for you. I know you got to go home and open up your gifts, but before you open those gifts, I want you to get the right perspective. Get to know him for yourself. God gave that he might save. That story of the Virgin Mary is a powerful story. But it wasn't in Joseph denying her. It wasn't in Mary and the virgin birth. It wasn't in the 3 magi's bringing the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It wasn't in the time of the year or where he was located, where he was born in the manger, where there was no room in the inn. It was in the fact that God gave his son because we needed a savior. We had tried everything. It got quiet for 100 years. Hadn't heard anything. But then he sent his son that we might be saved. Now here's what puzzles me. It's been over 2,000 years now, and the son is sitting at the right hand of God. Still a gift to us. How is it that we take this gift for granted? If you're here today, you won't know who you are until you know who he is. The greater part of you will be discovered when you know who your maker is. You might think you have the answers, but I tell you, you don't have the answers. You may be doing all right, but you're just doing all right. Good is the enemy of great. God doesn't just want you to be good. He wants you to be great. So if you're here today, I extend this invitation. I ask you that you would come. If you don't know the Lord and a part of your sin, this invitation goes to you. Come and accept Jesus' gift as his gift. Accept him in your life. How hard is it? Real easy. Romans 10, 9 and 10 said, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here, all you have to do is confess and believe. He said, thou shalt be saved. Now, maybe you're here and you're looking for somewhere to use the gifts God has given you. Already know the Lord and you're part of your sin and you're already saved, but you need somewhere to exercise the gift. Well, here the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. So I extend this invitation to you. At this time, I invite you to come as well. God gave that he might save. If you're here. Hallelujah. It's Christmas. Everybody excited? It's Christmas. I have the greatest gift in the world. I'm looking forward to what's under the tree. I'm looking forward to breaking open some bags and watching the faces of family members as they break open the bag. I'm looking forward to eating myself near sick. But I have the greatest gift in the world. In Jesus Christ. As my Savior. And when all else fails, what I love about him, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God bless you.